This morning, I believe our sermon is a little bit unique. I was trying to think back if I've ever had another sermon in the almost 10 years now that I've been preaching here that is like this one. What makes this sermon unique is it is specifically for those who have more gray hair than non-gray hair. Now, I admit that I noticed this week that I'm rapidly falling into that category, at least in my chin here. But my upper head at least leaves me a little bit, so I can somewhat think I'm not quite in the target group yet. Of course, I will say if you have more skin on top of your head than hair, you're probably still in that group too. And I don't care if there happens to be some magic that you get out of a bottle that changes things. You're still in that category that is the target category for this sermon. I'm sure you figured out from the title of the sermon, I'm talking about the aged this morning. Specifically, longtime believers. I know that not every senior saint is a longtime believer. By God's providence, there are some that God draws to saving faith later in life, so that your years of faith are not equal to your years of life. Others, God graciously draws us at a very young age so that our years of faith progress at about the same rate as our years of life. They run together. This is a sermon for those specifically who have long years of faith. Now, I certainly don't want all of us, I'm going to put myself in that category, maybe you should say all of you, to be more honest, but I don't want all of you to check out who are not in that older category, that are still in the youthful category. By God's grace, all of you should anticipate moving into that age category at some point, if God is gracious and the Lord does not return. By and large, though, as I said, this psalm speaks to the aged. Sometimes I think age causes us to accumulate this temptation that we've done our duty, we're done serving, we're old, there's not much that we can really do, our time of service is behind us. Well, this psalm will show you specifically, as well as all of us who are younger, that's not the case. That the people of God need the aged. Our psalm is Psalm 71, as you can see on the screen. This psalm doesn't give any indication at all of who wrote it. What is clear, though, is that it is written by someone from the perspective of age. It is also written by someone who has been a longtime believer in those years of life. This believer has been heavily influenced by the words of Scripture throughout his life. I promise I'm not going to take the time to show us every phrase that ties to another psalm or another portion of Scripture, but this is a man who has borrowed a lot of phrases from other psalms and parts of Scripture. Scripture flows through his mind. For example, almost all of the first three verses of the psalm are taken from the first three verses of Psalm 31. He modified them slightly to use for his purpose, but he's drawing words of Scripture. If you have a Bible with cross-references this morning, you will see a lot of cross-references. Our writer knows his Bible well, and he uses the words of Scripture to express himself. What we have in this psalm is a writer who has enjoyed a life of faith for many years. He has many experiences of God caring for him over those years, and he's enjoyed being part of the community of faith. He's enjoyed being part of worship for many years, worshiping his God alongside others. He's now near the end of his life. And yet the end of his life is not one of ease or comfort. Instead, he's facing ongoing torment in his later years. There are people who are still out to get him. These enemies have driven him to prayer. A prayer that he's recorded for us, a prayer that God has placed into Scripture, a prayer that shows us that aged believers have a very important role in the life of the community of faith. From this prayer, we learn that longtime believers have a privileged responsibility to tell others of God's faithfulness. A privileged responsibility is a privilege and a responsibility. Now listen up, especially if you're an aged saint, a longtime believer, listen up to what this psalmist says. You have a special duty to the church. Checking out is not an option. You have a privileged responsibility. Longtime believers have a privileged responsibility to tell others of God's faithfulness. There are multiple ways that we could break our psalm this morning. We could divide it in numerous places. I'm just going to break into three sections, as each one of these teaches us a principle about this privileged responsibility. This responsibility that longtime believers have. Longtime believers have a privileged responsibility to tell others of God's faithfulness. The first section will be the first six verses. And in this section, we find that long experience builds confidence. That's the principle that we can draw from the first six verses. Long experience builds confidence. Let's go ahead and read verses 1 through 6. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of habitation to which I may continually come. You have given commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the grasp of the wrongdoer and the ruthless man, for you are my hope. O Lord God, you are my confidence from my youth. By you I have been sustained from my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. In these verses here that I just read, the psalmist refers to the confidence that he has in God. God is a place of refuge that he can flee to when he faces attack. The confidence that our writer has makes me think a little bit of Finley, my granddaughter. Over the past few months, I have tried not to let Finley make an appearance in too many of my services or sermons. I assume that for some strange reason you might get tired of hearing about her. I don't know why when she's nearly perfect, but I've tried to keep her out anyway. Yet today, Finley will make an appearance. In the past couple of weeks, Finley has started walking. And she's doing that standard beginner walking, that Frankenstein walk, I call it. You know, the one where your arms are up in the air, shaking around, and the body is tilting, trying to find its balance over the legs while they stagger forward. Still, every day, she's becoming more confident in her walk. I'm pretty convinced that by the time she's a teenager, she won't even think much about walking. She'll be confident that she can get up and go. By that time, she'll have great experience at walking. Our writer has great experience in seeking God as a refuge. He doesn't have to think about it. It's a habit. Years of practice have given him confidence when it comes to seeking God. Those years have developed this confidence. Confidence in God. Looking at these verses that we read a couple moments ago, there's at least two aspects of confidence that we can detect in our psalmist. First, there is confidence in God's ability. In God's ability. Looking back over his life now, our psalmist recognizes that God has sustained him over and over and over again. God has sustained him from his birth. From his mother's womb, he says in verse 6. God has been his confidence from his youth there in verse 5. God has become his constant rock and fortress. Very familiar words. In other words, our psalmist is expressing through these familiar words that he has learned time and again that God is able to deliver him from danger. God is able to preserve him from enemies. God has continually become a place of refuge. You know, since Daniel, our son, moved from our house and moved into his own house, there's been several times where he's called me up on the phone and he said, "Dad, I'm in the middle of a project and I've run into a problem. Do you have any advice? There's a complication." He calls expecting that because of my long years of experience that I may have run into similar types of scenarios and I'll be able to help him. And after talking, he has increased confidence. He'll go back and attack the problem trying what I've suggested to him. And of course, I well remember in my mind the conversations I've had with my dad along the way. How I gained these years of experience was tapping in those years of experience. In similar fashion, senior saints, those who are among us with more years, more gray hair, more lack of hair, they teach us all how to trust God, how to have confidence in God's ability, how God can help us in times of problems. When we hit the snags of life, we can talk to them. We can learn how they have relied on God as their refuge. We can hear of their experiences and gain confidence through their experiences of God's ability. Long experience builds confidence. Confidence in God's ability. That's the first aspect here of confidence in God's ability. The second aspect that we can detect is confidence in God's presence. In God's presence. In the first six verses, we see the psalmist addressing God. He's confident that God is there when he addresses him in prayer because God's always been there when he addresses him. He's been communing with God ever since his youth. He's come to God continually, and he's comfortable in God's presence. He knows that's the place of safety, that's the place of security. It's a bit like a child who, when a child is scared or is injured, when he needs comfort, he naturally flees to his mother and climbs onto his mother's lap. He isn't nervous about finding acceptance there. He crawls right up on mom's lap and cuddles and finds the confidence of being in her presence. Well, long years of communing with God creates a similar confidence in him. Long-term saints don't wonder if God will be there when they seek him out. They naturally go to God. I love to be with those who are comfortable in the presence of God, to listen to them as they're praying, to sense that confidence. And I gain confidence myself from them. Senior saints, that's one reason we need you to be in our prayer meetings. When our church gathers for prayer meetings, we need you so that the rest of us can listen. We need your confidence in God's presence that your years of experience with him have created. We need those years of experience to rub off on us, those that have less experience. Long experience builds confidence. Confidence in God's presence. Confidence is a benefit that comes through long experience, a benefit that can be passed along. Remember, longtime believers, you have a privileged responsibility to tell others of God's faithfulness. And you can do that by displaying confidence in God's ability and his presence. Now, in the next large section of the psalm, verses 7 through 18, we see new challenges create opportunities, new challenges. Let's read these verses. Our writer says, "I have become a marvel to many, for you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all day long. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails, for my enemies have spoken against me. And those who watch for my life have consulted together, saying, 'God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is no one to deliver.' O God, do not be far from me. O my God, hasten to my help. Let those who are adversaries of my soul be ashamed and consumed. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor, who seek to injure me. But as for me, I will hope continually. I will praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and of your salvation all day long, for I do not know the sum of them. I will come with the mighty deeds of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, yours alone. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and I still declare your wondrous deeds. And even when I'm old and gray, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to all who are to come." Here we see that our psalmist is still facing challenges, new challenges. Verse 10 makes it clear that he has enemies who are out to get him. They're speaking poorly of him. They're watching for a chance to condemn him to death. Apparently, the psalmist is rather down and out as well, because the enemies, they're looking at him and they conclude that he's been forsaken by everyone. There is no God helping him. For that reason, they feel justified hounding him and seeking to harm him. Of course, that mocking line that God is forsaking him there that you see in verse 11, that's really an attack on his faith. That's a statement saying there is no God. The one he believes in is not God. His faith is of no avail to him, especially now when he really needs help. Do you ever feel like troubles just keep piling on in your life? That you just keep having more and more problems? Do you feel like those who hate God and those who hate you are getting the upper hand? Those that oppose everything that you stand for are on the winning side? Do you know what it's like to have people talk about you, making you the joke in their stories? Do you know people who despise you and your faith? If so, then what the psalmist is saying here should resonate with you. Remember, our psalmist is old, but that just means he has more experience. Probably many of us can relate to the circumstance of someone opposing us, but not all of us can relate to him being old. Now, I'm sure that our writer would have loved to have had an easy retirement, where he could have indulged himself with golf every other day and just kind of enjoyed life. But that's not what God gave him. God gave him hardship. And rather than complain about his lot in life, our psalmist here sees the new challenges that come into his life as generating opportunities. When life gets hard, how do you look at your hardships? Do you look at your hardships as opportunities, or do you look at hardships as justification to become Grumpy Gus? There are a couple of specific opportunities that our aged writer here grabs a hold of. Through the new challenges, the problems that crop up in his life, he grabs these new opportunities. And we can learn from him to see challenges in our own lives as creating opportunities as well. First, new challenges create opportunities to call to God for help. To call to God. This entire psalm, as I said, is a prayer. These problems, these challenges, these hostilities, they've created a reason for the psalmist to pray to God. And there are several verses in the section that I just read that specifically call out to God for help. Look at verse 12, just as one example. O God, do not be far from me. O God, hasten to my help. Our writer is showing that this is how he's going to respond to his problems. He is going to call out to God. He's going to ask God to help. He's not going to get discouraged. He's not going to become grumpy. He's not going to be angry. He's not going to try and solve his problems through his own efforts. He's not going to use his own wisdom. He's not going to become stress-filled and frantic. He's going to call out to God for help. Key observation for us is to observe that our writer is responding this way because this is a pattern that he has developed over the course of his life. He's no stranger to problems. And being no stranger to problems, he has learned to turn to God when they arrive. You know, some of us may have a long pattern of problems because we're just that dense. We don't learn to turn to God quickly. We need to have this lesson over and over. But Senior Saint, let me ask you, is this your experience? Have you learned through life to turn to God when problems come along? When things happen now, what do the people who are in your life see? What do they observe? What do they see happening? Do they see you becoming discouraged? Do they see you getting angry? Do they see you being filled with stress and becoming all frantic? What is it that they observe? Do they see you calling out to God for help? Do people see you grasping the newest problem that's come into your life as an opportunity to once again turn it over to God, call out to Him and display faith that God will be there? Younger saints, let me ask you, are you developing a pattern in your life of calling out to God for help? If we want to become the kind of aged saint that sets the right example, we should start developing that pattern now. New challenges create opportunities to call to God for help. New challenges also create opportunities to tell of God's character. To tell of God's character. Who is this God we're calling to? Well, look at verse 8. He says, "My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all day long." Verse 15, "My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and of your salvation all day long." Verse 16, "I will make mention of your righteousness." Verse 17, "I will declare your wondrous deeds." Verse 18, "Do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation." Do you see all those character qualities of God? Righteousness, salvation, strength, wondrous. It should always be our desire to share God's character. But the example of our psalmist places an extra duty really on the shoulders of the aged. The aged have an extra responsibility because you've had years of experience with God's character. Your years of experience that come along with that gray hair, that confidence that we talked about in the first section that is developed through those years of experience, that gives you the credibility that's generated by all those years to demonstrate what faith in God looks like. So let me ask you, are you? Are you using the challenges that God brings into your life to demonstrate what steadfast faith looks like? A faith that you openly and freely share the character of God in the midst of hard times. God brings challenges along. He brings challenges into your life. He does this to give you opportunities. Opportunities to tell others about Him. So let me urge you, grab every one of those. Tell people about the God that you know well. Again, let me urge those of us who are less than aged to listen to those who are pointing us to God. To observe, to learn. Let us learn to echo the responses that we see in the aged and tell others of God's character. New challenges create opportunities to tell of God's character. Longtime believers have a privileged responsibility to share God's faithfulness. New challenges create opportunities. Opportunities to call for God's help and to tell of God's character. In the last verses of the psalm, we see one further principle that supports the main idea. The main idea, long-term believers have a privileged responsibility to tell others of God's faithfulness. One last principle that we can see here is that long experience causes unwavering praise. Unwavering praise. It's the result of long experience. Let's read the last verses, picking up in verse 19. "For your righteousness, O God, reacheth to the heavens. You have done great things, O God. Who is like you? You, who have shown me many troubles and distresses, will revive me again and will bring me up again from the depths of the earth. May you increase my greatness and turn to comfort me. I will also praise you with a harp, even your truth, O my God. To you I will sing praises with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, and my soul which you have redeemed. My tongue also will utter your righteousness all day long, for they are ashamed, for they are humiliated who seek my hurt." We see our psalmist end here with words of praise. Verse 20 makes it clear, whatever our writer is going through, this is not his first rodeo. He has been down this road many times. God has allowed, he says in verse 20, many troubles and distresses into his life. And from those experiences, he has learned to give unwavering praise to God. Unwavering praise. I would like us to observe two aspects of this unwavering praise. First, it is praise to God while suffering. Praise while suffering. Our psalmist is in the middle of his problems. There, again, has been no break between verse 1 and verse 24 here. His difficulties haven't ended. He's in the middle of trouble. Those problems are serious. But those problems do not have any direct bearing on the offering of praise to God. Even in the middle of trouble, he just keeps on praising God. He joins with the believing community in public worship, singing praise to the Holy One of Israel, as he calls him there in verse 22. He praises God simply for being God, being a God who does great things, he mentions in verse 19. In other words, his present problems do not impact his praise at all. He still has a lifetime of reasons to praise God. Seniors, one of the greatest things you can do to bring glory to God is simply to be here in public worship when it's hard for you to be here. The rest of us are watching you. We're watching, and we are encouraged. Even when your problems become so severe that you cannot join us publicly, we are still watching you. We are watching your response. We know of your problems. We know of your challenges. That's why your presence here, singing praises alongside us, praising God, it speaks to us louder than you know of the love that you have for God. We know the effort. When we see you praising God while suffering, we learn that God has given you, over the course of your life, reasons to keep on praising Him. We see that nothing can take worship away from you. We see your love of Christ on display. We see that when you have nothing else to hold on to, you are still holding on to your Savior, because your faith in your Savior is fixed. Of course, all of us who know Jesus Christ as Savior, we have a reason to hold on to. We have the same reasons to keep on praising God. We can hold on to Christ just as we see our senior saints do. We too can praise God while suffering. It doesn't have to wait till we're aged. Long experience causes unwavering praise. Praise to God while suffering displays this unwavering praise that we see here in the end of the psalm. A second aspect that's displayed in the final verses of unwavering praise is praise in anticipation of deliverance. Anticipation of deliverance. While our psalmist here, our writer, is currently suffering, he's clearly anticipating deliverance. Verse 20, he says, "You," speaking to God, "you will revive me again. You will bring me up from the depths of the earth." The writer here is talking about deliverance from his trials. He's not talking about resurrection as if he's in the grave. In fact, the Hebrew original actually has "us" instead of "me" in this verse. The psalmist is reflecting on the many times that Israel as a nation has faced disasters and seen God bring revival. And he anticipates that his personal experience will be similar. In fact, he anticipates it so strongly that he speaks of it in the past tense in the final verse. The final line of the psalm, "his enemies are ashamed. They are humiliated." Past tense. Even though it hasn't happened yet, he can speak of it with such certainty because this is the God he knows. He can already praise God for his deliverance. Frankly, this is the confidence that every believer should have. If we know Jesus Christ as Savior, nothing can shake our faith. Because nothing can overcome Christ. He's already overcome. We should have this faith. We should all, as we've discussed many times, live our lives in a manner that demonstrates that we're on the winning team. We trust Christ to be victorious. We anticipate His return. We anticipate His deliverance when He comes, regardless of the problems that we face. We should all live that way. Still, there is a reason that the young people start a whole lot of projects that never succeed. They're known for starting and failing. And that's because, frankly, young people don't know the effort that's required. There's a little naiveness that still goes on with youth. They can be naive about how life really works. Well, in a similar fashion, words anticipating deliverance from the mouth of a young person might be chalked up to gullibility. Such is not the case, though, when those same words come from the mouth of an elderly person who has seen time and again how difficult things really are in this world. There's years of experience with trials. So when you age saint, when you are the one who speaks of your anticipation of God's deliverance in Jesus Christ in the face of current hardships, your testimony rings powerfully. Are you sharing? Are you sharing your confidence? Are you sharing your anticipation of your Savior when life is hard? Do your family members and the neighbors around you, do they see you praising God because you know Christ? Because you are anticipating His victory? You have the credibility of age. Don't squander it. God allowed you to have years to accumulate it. Use it well. Long experience causes unwavering praise. Praise in anticipation of deliverance is the second aspect that we see here in the closing verses of the psalm. Unwavering praise. As I said at the outset, this is primarily a sermon to the aged, to the long-time believers that we have in our church. Of course, regardless of our age, all of us are heading towards that day. We're progressing that way, but some of us have more years than others to get there. But we're heading towards that category, and we can learn as we head towards it from those that God has already brought to that point. Those that God has placed around us that are in the aged category. God has given us today a special word to those who have progressed through the experiences of life. Longtime believers have a privileged responsibility to tell others of God's faithfulness. To tell others. It's a privileged responsibility. One that you dare not squander. That's overall idea. Longtime believers have this privileged responsibility. We've extracted it here from our psalm. We've also seen three principles that support this privileged responsibility. First, long experience builds confidence. Second, new challenges create opportunities. Third, long experiences cause unwavering praise. If God has given you long years of life, if He has allowed you to accumulate the experiences that come from long years of faith in Jesus Christ, recognize your privileged position. Recognize your privileged responsibility. And perform the duty God's given you. Longtime believers have a privileged responsibility to tell others of God's faithfulness. You have a good God. Speak of Him. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for the many that we have in our church that You have allowed to go through the years of accumulating experience in knowing You. We thank You for the aged believers among us. We thank You for their testimony of faith. And Father, I pray that the sermon today would be a challenge to each one of them to continue to serve You faithfully, joyfully, giving You the praise that You deserve. And may they be a great strength to our church as they do so. Father, may we learn from them, be encouraged by them, emulate them with our lives, so that the legacy of faith that they leave us is a strong one. Father, we thank You for this responsibility that You've placed upon the shoulders of those who have the years of life. Now we pray that Your Spirit would enable them to perform it well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.